Beam me aboard.
Energize.
Energizing.
It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet at radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. I am sitting in the driver's seat again this week, and sitting looking very nervous as a passenger tonight is none other than
Alex Horosh.
Good evening, Alex. How are you, mate?
I'm pretty good, thanks, Gary. How about yourself?
I am alive, breathing. I've made it into the studio 3 weeks in a row, so that is something good.
That's a hat trick.
That is a hat trick. I've actually managed 5 consecutive days at the office as well, with no new ailments cropping up. So I'm going to count that as a win, mate.
Yeah, let's touch some wood.
And there's some wood, yeah. Yep. Ah, what have you been up to, mate?
I've recovered from a jet lag, so just getting back into the daily routine of writing about technology, phone plans, you know, lots of fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There actually has been a bit of movement in the industry this week, a bit of a data war.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Tell our listener about it, please.
How about I do that as part of the GNUs?
Okay, you can do that as part of the GNUs. Okay. I don't mind that at all.
How about yourself, Gary? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
Other than staying alive.
I have not needed to call the doctor for a whole week. Or visit a doctor, although I do have to go and see one this week. Actually, I've got 2 doctor's appointments this week.
Streak is over.
I need to get some meds, and I need to have a follow-up on some other stuff that I've done. So hopefully there won't be anything new that props up.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers, knees, everything crossed, mate. Yeah. Everything crossed. And I've not taken painkillers for a couple of weeks as well. So
even better.
Even better, yes. I do not like taking painkillers or any sort of medication at all. The fact that I have to really does irk me. And the fact that I've had to take painkillers and that sort of stuff over the last month or so, that has really knocked me about a little bit. Because I just don't like doing it. That's just me.
That's no good.
No. Go on.
Onward and upward.
Yes, indeed. And onward and upward, and some very, very sad news this week with the passing of Stephen Hawking.
That was tragic.
Absolutely. The man lived a wonderful life. Absolutely brilliant gentleman.
The world's been better off for him being in it.
Absolutely. I thought I would start off with a little bit of David Bowie tonight and Space Oddity.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. 10. Ground control 9, to Major Tom.
8, 7.
You're back listening to the Gadget Grill on Radio 2 RDJ, 88.1 on the FM band, and radio2rdj.com on the web. And I think it's time for a bit of news, or GNUs.
Or some GNUs, yeah. I'm easy one way or the other. It can be news or it can be GNUs, which is pronounced news. Okay, I'm going to start off with a story about a guy who got frustrated with his sat-nav in his car. And you've heard me complain about sat-nav and the mapping software in the past when I've reviewed
Every second week, Gary.
I know. And here's a guy who bought himself a car and he took it to the dealership. The dealership replaced the sat-nav. The hardware was found to be working perfectly. The problem was with the software in the sat-nav. Mm-hmm. Not at all surprising to me. I imagine that he experienced similar issues to what I've complained about before, which is incorrect, inaccurate mapping, that sort of stuff, goes the wrong way, all sorts of rubbish like that. He went and took it to court to try and get a refund for the full price of his car. The magistrate said, buy a map.
Harsh.
Indeed. So I just thought that one was rather good.
That's amazing.
Yes. What have you got?
So as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we've got a bit of a data war on our hands.
Right. Yes, you did.
Telcos seem to keep trying to one up each other with their, you know, having the biggest inclusions on their phone plans. So Optus made waves this week with a new SIM-only deal where it's offering 100 gigabytes of data for $60 a month.
100 gigabytes for $60 a month?
Yeah, as a phone plan.
That would challenge a lot of people's home internet plans.
I think I did the maths and you'd get about 800 hours of Netflix on your mobile phone.
That's pretty interesting. That's quite a lot of data, and that means that you could use this sort of a plan to actually replace your home internet plan if you wanted to.
You'd probably want a data sharing SIM as well, like just so you can have it in a portable hotspot rather than constantly tethering to your phone.
Sure.
But yeah, so like this is happening, all this movement's happening all around the mobile industry right now. Even $40 a month on Optus now gets you 30 gigs. Telstra's come out with a surprisingly competitive 25 for 50, which is really good for Telstra because, you know, it's Telstra.
Yeah.
They always are the most expensive, but they do seem to be the fastest.
Yes.
And you look at some of the MVNOs, like say an Exitel, they're now doing 10 gigabytes for $25.
That's pretty good too.
Yeah. Like about a year ago, you'd be paying at least 50 for 10.
Yeah. Yeah. The data wars are finally with us. You know, we're finally starting to see some value on our phone plans.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah. And some of the telcos are actually allowing you to aggregate your data mm-hmm. so that you can have two or three people sharing a data allowance on the one account across however many phones they might have. That's pretty good as well.
All of the big providers, Telstra, Optus, Vodafone and Virgin, I'm pretty sure they all support data sharing.
Right.
At least Optus, Vodafone, Optus and Telstra definitely do. Virgin, I'm not 100% sure about.
Right.
So now, as long as, at least on Optus and on Telstra, it's on by default. If you sign up to two numbers on the same account, they will have that data shared.
Yes, yes. How's your cryptocurrency mining going?
Terribly. I mean, have you seen the price of Bitcoin?
I know. There's a calendar app in the Mac App Store, and it mines cryptocurrency in the background in exchange for giving users additional features.
I saw that, and it actually did get pulled. But it's an interesting idea, because they did give you the option to buy those features, or they gave you the option to have it for free.
Yeah. It's an interesting sort of thing. As long as they're open about it and they tell you about it, then is that a problem? I don't think so.
Yeah, I feel like it's more was just out of line with Apple's policy for apps, because it is using, like, was one of those things that was using more resources than it should be for an app of its purpose.
Of course.
You know, if you just put it up yourself, I think that'll be, like, it's an interesting way to sell an app.
It is.
I mean, assuming Bitcoin doesn't keep dropping.
Well, there is that too. There is that. Next, please, sir.
So, closer to home, NBN has started to be a bit more transparent with its reporting and is now...
That wouldn't be hard.
No, it's not really. So they're starting to put out a monthly report on the progress, and it includes some interesting metrics, such as the average congestion time. So NBN is now saying that the average fixed line NBN subscriber now gets just 12 minutes of bandwidth congestion in a week, which is down from almost 5 hours last year.
That's a very significant change.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that have happened recently, such as the CVC discount and the move to faster plans.
Sure.
So the discount on faster plans.
Yes.
So it seems like telcos haven't really dropped the price of plans, but instead, well, they're giving you NBN 50 for NBN 25.
They're improving their backhaul.
Yeah. Capabilities. And so this is an industry average, so it might not, you know, like it will vary from telco to telco, but it is a promising sign.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. How's your tractor?
I lost it.
You lost it?
Yeah.
How's the firmware in your tractor?
Oh, do I have to update for the firmware on my tractor now too? Why?
Tractor manufacturers are making it a compulsory part of using their tractors that you have to use their firmware. You can't do your own, for instance, you can't do your own bloody tune-up on your tractor. You've got to use their systems, their softwares, and for some reason people are getting a little bit upset with that. Can you, you know, that's the same as with your car, but we're talking tractors. And, yeah, these are some of the big American manufacturers, and they're locking their users into end-user licensing agreements and doing all sorts of nasty things with that to users who, hey, I bought a tractor. I want to use it the way I want to use it. Thank you very much.
That's bizarre.
Isn't it? But this is the world that we are in today, Alex.
Fun times.
Oh, yes.
So, on the subject of fun times, actually, I don't know really if it's fun, but Fitbit is trying its hand at another smartwatch, and this week announced the Versa, which is, it's more, I guess, it's mid-range smartwatch. It sits below the Ioniq in the product family.
Oh,
it's,
yes.
Yeah, it's a little bit cleaner. It doesn't have GPS, but it still has, you know, the heart rate monitor and all the other tracking features. It's going to go on sale in April for about $299 here.
That's and, not a bad price.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll work with iPhone, we'll work with Android, it'll work with Windows Phone if you still have one for some reason.
Yes. On the subject of Windows phones, do you know how many they sold last year?
5?
I think it was 18.
I was close.
Yeah. And, of course, one-third of Android phones are now connecting to iOS. So they've changed the name from Android Wear to Wear OS.
Yes, I saw that.
So, that just, you know, sort of while we're talking about phones. But how about, and this is something that is very interesting, how long does it take to install a solar power system on your property?
I'm not sure. Isn't it a couple of, like, for the entire process?
For the entire process.
All I'd be doing is making a guess, sure. And it's going to be wrong, so...
Yeah. Try it.
A week?
Okay. That's not unreasonable. There's a guy in Sydney, there's a company in Sydney now, that have developed a portable photovoltaic system that folds up, the cells fold up, and it comes in a pack, basically, sort of a flat pack type of thing. They take it to your site, they unfold it, string it out on the ground, for instance. This is for temporary use more than anything else. And it takes about 10 minutes to set up and get it going.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So I just thought that you might like to know about that. You got one more story for me?
I do.
Excellent.
So do you remember Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow?
Oh, that name just rolls off the tongue.
He's the Sydney biohacker who was...
He was charged with not having a valid Opal card on him, even though he had an Opal chip embedded in his body.
Yeah, that is correct. And so he had his day in court and...
Lost.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So the magistrate sided with the prosecution, ordering Meow Meow to pay the fine and legal fees. So just over $1,000. And yeah, it's a bit of a shame because, you know, he is following the law, but just...
Not strictly.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing because, you know, in the future you can see that people will have chips embedded within their person. And, you know, so that's... You know, we have our animals. Our dogs and our cats have got little chips embedded in them so we can identify them. Where do we draw the line for this sort of thing? Probably on a line, maybe.
Well, you know, we just this week as well, the government started accepting visa tap-ons for ferries. Yes. And was it buses as well? Light rail, ferries and light rail.
Yes.
And I'm guessing buses and trains will be coming soon.
I would imagine so.
So that means you're technically travelling without a ticket.
Yeah.
So...
What's the difference?
Come on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Meow Meow was cheated.
I know. Foodora. Yeah, the gig economy and Foodora, these are people that you see riding on bicycles and getting in your way when you're trying to drive down the road.
In most cases, they're just bringing me tasty food.
Well, yeah. Or they're P-platers on Vespas, illegally using their phones for directions. Half of them are backpackers who don't know their way around town. Foodora has fired a courier for refusing to quit a worker's chat group. They've set up a chat group. And Foodora asked this guy for details of how to get in and what they wanted to take over the keys to this, and he refused to let them, and so they fired him.
Wow.
It's an interesting thing.
Especially because these companies often say, no, you're not an employee.
You're not an employee.
You're a contractor.
If you're not an employee, if you're a contractor, then they have absolutely no right to do anything like
cool.
that.
Cool. I guess I'm sticking to Menulog instead then.
I don't like any of them, actually. I don't like Menulog. I don't like Foodora. I don't like
Uber Eats.
Deliveroo. Quite often, you don't have any choice because it's, you know, sort of the vendor will engage the carrier to bring the food to you instead of employing their own people to do that, and that in some ways is actually quite efficient and it works quite well.
Mm. Although, from what I understand, you do pay a massive premium to be on Uber Eats. It's something like 30% of the total bill, not just delivery.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, so maybe don't use Uber Eats.
Maybe not. Instead, maybe, you should go and listen to Cole Chisel, the Star Hotel.
I guess we'll do that.
Indeed. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet. We are at radio2rdj.com. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz, sitting in the studio with none other than
Alex Horosh.
And we're going to talk about taking photos at gigs. In Melbourne recently, a guy who runs a club announced that he's going to restrict people taking photos and particularly videos at gigs that are held at his club. And his reasoning behind that is that, you go to these gigs and you see people, everyone standing there and they're holding up their phones and it's getting in the way of everything and spoiling the gig, spoiling the entertainment, spoiling the experience for everyone else in the venue.
I have had those kind of people spoil a gig for me before.
Sure.
I mean, who hasn't? But
yeah.
I saw Deftones a couple of years playing the Roundhouse at UNSW.
I love that venue.
There was a guy standing in front of me on the balcony, filming the entire set on his phone.
Why?
I don't know.
It's not going to have good quality sound. It's not going to have good quality video.
It was just... Yeah, just like he was tall as well, and he was like right on the balcony.
Oh god!
And I just like, god, so please stop your.
Anyone who's near him is going to have their experience spoiled.
Yeah. And about halfway through, he dropped his phone.
Oh, how nice! Where dropped it onto the floor where he was?
Dropped it off the balcony.
Oh, what, onto the lower floor?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful!
And it was like, yes, karma. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. And unfortunately, he came back and it was still working. Oh, that's a shame. Resumed filming.
The people down below weren't dancing and happened to jump on it and stamp on it, were they? Did they?
No, it wasn't quite over the mosh pit, unfortunately.
Oh, damn,
that would have been so much better.
I can remember back in the. Late 60s, early 70s, going to some orientation week gigs, dances at the Roundhouse. There were some very, very interesting scents going around the room at night. Now, these were typically Friday nights. And, yes, there were some people. These were the days when you could actually smoke inside a venue. Uh-huh. And there were people smoking some perhaps not quite tailor-made cigarettes, shall we say.
Oh, that still happens at most gigs.
I know. At the gigs I go to, the people are actually quite respectful of the venues. And if they're going to do that, they at least go outside and do it. Outside, you know, sort of maybe 20 metres up the road from the venue, so that the venue has there's no recourse on the venue. But let's get back to the point, which is the filming and videoing and photography of gigs at these sort of events. As you know, I do a lot of photography, or I used to do a lot of photography. I don't do as much of it these days as I used to. Mm-hmm. And when I go to a gig and if I take a camera, I'm going to take a proper camera with me. It's going to be a DSLR, and I'm going to have some reasonably heavy-duty glass, and I'm going to be shooting photos.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I find is that if I'm going to a gig and I'm shooting, I have to actually make a decision. Do I want to enjoy the gig? Am I there to enjoy the gig and just sit back and relax and listen to the music and enjoy the performances, what the performers are doing? Mm. Or do I want to actually shoot it? I actually have to make that conscious decision. And I can't see that these people who are standing there and they're holding their arm up and they've got their cell phone, their little phone in their hand, and they're photographing it, videoing it. I can't see that they're actually getting enjoyment out of the gig.
Especially because, you know, when you pull up your phone at a concert, you know, you then worry, okay, is someone going to bump into me?
Like, yeah.
At least, you know.
What sort of quality are you going to get for a gig? These phones, they're very good for what they do, but if you're in a gig where there's, you know, sort of the lighting isn't all that good and everyone, you know, sort of you're in a mosh pit and everyone's moving around and it's going to be an unsteady video.
Yeah, I've put
some really good... So the sound quality is going to be absolutely atrocious.
I've put in some really good snaps at concerts and I do like taking a quick couple of snaps.
Quick couple of snaps is not the same as standing there with your arm up and filming... You know, sort of 20 minutes straight of a concert.
You know what? I've found it's gotten worse because of Facebook Live.
Yeah?
Whenever I go to a gig and I, you know, go to maybe a gig or two a month, like, there's always someone there, like, with Facebook Live on their phone, streaming it for their friends. And it's just like...
Well, this is actually, in some ways, it is actually stealing from the performers as well. Because the performers, they have a right to get paid for their art, for their craft, for their creative content.
Mm.
And if you're doing this and streaming it for your friends, then is that fair to the performer?
Yeah, your friend should have bought a ticket, damn it.
Well, exactly my point. You know, if your friend wants to see the concert, then why the hell are they not at the concert?
Yeah.
You know?
It's just like, why would you ruin your experience for, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not a trend I like.
And when you actually, what are you going to do with that video? Are you actually going to sit down and watch it? And if so, how many times?
Yeah, no, like that's exactly the point. And I really like going back for my old concert photos because it reminds me of the bands that I've seen.
Yeah.
In the same way that I keep my ticket stubs in my fridge.
And yeah, exactly. And the photos, it takes you a few seconds to find them and to look at them, and you can enjoy them and you can relive the experience. Are you going to sit down and watch 20 minutes or half an hour or an hour of a whole bloody concert?
No.
I
don't have a
time. That is poor quality. If I'm going to watch a concert, then I want to see it good quality, which reminds me of my first time when I went to the Sky Church at the Pop Culture Museum in Seattle. We'll be there in a month, and we're going to go there. They've got a Star Trek exhibition on at the moment. That's going to be awesome. But my first time I went there in the Sky Church, it's the theaterette in there, and it's got a big, big, big screen and a very, very loud sound system. So my first time there, I mean, I think it was 2011, and up there on the screen, The Who, Isle of Wight. Keith Moon on drums, very loud, very Moon the Loon. Oh, awesome stuff.
I can imagine.
And that's the sort of concert that you can enjoy the video of. You're not going to get that taking it from a phone from with 25 rows of people between you and the bloody stage. I fully support what this guy's doing, and I fully support the artists who say, you know, do not do this.
But there's a few interesting kind of like counterpoints. For example, before Nine Inch Nails went on hiatus about, not quite 10 years ago, maybe like 5 years ago, they went on a hiatus.
Yes.
And for that last round of shows, they encouraged anyone to, like, you know, just bring a video camera. If you want to bring a video camera, bring a camera, film whatever you want. And eventually, I think they managed to compile like just an entire dump of all of this HD footage that they had gotten from people who brought cameras.
Interesting.
Just like crowdsourced footage. And then even like a crowdsourced edit ended up of it online.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to play some music. This is Colleen Hewitt and Superstar.
Listening to The Gadget Grill on Radio 2 RDJ, 88.1 on the FM band and radio2rdj.com on the web. And we're going to talk about something that's a bit contentious around Gary, at least.
Oh, absolutely.
Smart homes.
What?
Smart homes.
What's a smart home?
Home automation.
Okay, that's a better term.
Yeah.
That's a much better term to use than smart homes. There is no such thing as a smart home.
My home is pretty smart.
What, it doesn't let you in?
Turns on the lights before I get home, turns them off automatically at bedtime.
What makes that smart?
At the very least, it's considerate. It's considerate home.
How does it know to when you're coming home?
Normally, I have a light set to turn on at sunset.
Okay.
So that if I'm home late, there'll always at least be one light on when I get home.
Right, okay. Okay.
And I have that light program.
Sure.
And programmed to turn off at about 11, so that even if I'm not home, it creates the illusion of me being home.
Okay. And I can remember 20, 30, 40 years ago, we had a little mechanical timer that we would do all of that with.
Yeah.
Next.
Now you can do it with Wi-Fi.
Okay, whoopee.
Okay, cool. So what I do want to chat about is HomeKit, which is Apple's smart home platform.
Sure.
Adoption in Australia's was really slow to start with, but now
actually
starting to see some HomeKit appliances pop up in Australia around the launch of HomePod, and which was Apple's new speaker,
right?
And so I've been testing out some of the LifeX mini light bulbs, which are LifeX's first properly HomeKit-enabled bulbs that they're like HomeKit out of a box.
Okay. Now, my experience with this sort of stuff so far has been that these light bulbs and so on, you know, sort of a light bulb you can buy for a dollar or two, mm-hmm. and these light bulbs cost $50, $60, $70, $80.
The minis cost, I think they start at about $30 if you're okay with a version that's just various shades of white, okay. or about $50, $60 if you want the coloured ones.
Okay. Okay.
So you are paying a premium for them, but they're also LED bulbs, which means okay.
LED bulbs are normally about $10 to $20 each, so
yeah.
you're at a premium to start with.
And
they are worth it because they last a hell of a lot longer.
Yeah, so, you know, they claim to last about 20, 22 years, but it's really hard to test that for some reason.
Well, it's hard to believe that they've yeah. tested it for some reason, because the technology's only been around for about 8 years.
This is, you know, the approximation of what everyone uses when it comes to LED.
Yeah.
So, you've set up, like, you know, smart home appliances before, Gary, right? Where, actually, you know, you have to connect to the devices, download the app, connect to the devices, Wi-Fi, and it's just a bit messy.
Sure.
So, what I really enjoyed about, like, the HomeKit process is, you, like, I've screwed into the lights, and then it just appeared in the app. It's like, there's a new HomeKit device available near you. Would you like to connect it?
Okay.
And I pressed yes. And then I scanned the little barcode on the label.
Right.
And then it was on my network.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's making it less less foolproof and more seamless than what it has been. And that's been a part of the problem. It's like very early days of Bluetooth when you had to go through all sorts of rigmarole to get a simple Bluetooth device connected.
Yeah, and I was just like impressed because like I've spent way too much time with all these other things and they haven't connected. You had to try 3 times, and this just worked.
Okay.
You know, being Apple, there's a few Apple... you need to have either a HomePod or an Apple TV if you want it to act as a server while your phone's not at home.
Right.
But, you know, that does mean, for example, right now I can turn on the lights at home from my watch.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool.
It is. It sounds like it's kind of cool. How soon do you reckon it'll be before you get tired of actually doing that?
Well, I've been, like, living in a voice-activated, voice assistant world for about a year and a half now anyway. No, maybe about 2 years, like, with an Amazon
voice
Echo.
Voice assistant is not quite the same as using your watch to turn on things, although you can use your voice to do things via your watch.
Well, for example, if I'm pulling into the driveway and waiting for the garage door to open at night,
yep.
then I might use my watch to quickly turn on the lights while...
Okay, yep.
So it's not that I'm using the watch all the time, or for example, if I'm sitting down to watch a movie, rather than shout out Alexa over the opening credits,
yes.
or Hey Siri over the opening credits, I can just tap my watch to turn off the lights instead.
Okay.
So it's very well integrated.
Well, that's one of the things that Apple do very well. They try and make the user experience very, very painless, very easy to set up things and so on. And for me, that's probably one of the problems that I have with Apple products in that I like to get my hands dirty. Yeah. I really do like to get my hands dirty and understand what is going on. Apple is built for a more consumer type of person than I am. That's not a problem. That's me.
And in terms of this kind of like home automation stuff going mainstream, like maybe this is the kind of thing we need to actually make it accessible.
Well,
and
again, Apple... are responsible for bringing a lot of technology mainstream. You know, they were the first to give you a PC or a computer without a floppy disk drive, without a CD or a DVD drive, you know. They have been innovators and they've been pushing the market first to market with, in a large scale, SSDs. For storage instead of a hard drive. They've been pushing the technology, pushing the envelope in terms of making the consumer experience much better, much more seamless, much more user-friendly. And we've got to give Apple credit for doing that.
This isn't like, you know, necessarily an Apple exclusive feature. You can do similar with Alexa and with... Google Home, I believe this is coming soon, but it's just, it makes it very easy to create groups of tasks. So, for example, I can say, "Hey Siri, good night," and that will turn off all of the lights in my living room and turn on my nightlight.
Okay.
And it's just...
We were watching a movie today, and there's a kid in the movie who had a nightlight with fake fishes swimming around in a fake bowl. Is that the sort of nightlight you have, Alex?
Oh, no, just like the lamp on my bedside table.
Oh, okay. Damn, I'm disappointed in you, mate.
Oh, I'll get one just for... I don't know if you can get a Wi-Fi version of that one, Gary.
I'll have a look for it when I'm overseas in a few weeks, mate. We will have a look and see if we can get a Wi-Fi fake goldfish bowl nightlife.
That'd be amazing.
How about that for you, mate?
That'd be perfect.
Okay, we're going to continue with a bit more music. This time it is Sting and Walking on the Moon.
Ominous.
I know. With the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, and we are on the internet at radio2rdj.com. And if you like, you can actually say all of the W's as well.
Well, you don't have to. Whatever floats your boat.
Exactly. Now, it is time, of course, for our useless gadget.
Oh dear, what have you got this week?
Oh, this is beautiful. You know what a fidget spinner is, don't you? And it keeps people occupied for hours and hours and hours.
Does it really?
As a teenager, of course, a lot of people get pimples, zits, and you're told not to squeeze them, but you can't resist. There is a thing called a Poppet Pal, which is a bit of plastic, and it is a fake... just a little pad with fake pimples on it. And you can squeeze them and pimple stuff or some sort of goo comes out of it.
That sounds disgusting.
It certainly does.
Do you have to refill it?
I have no idea. And it's not something that I actually want to find out about either.
Does it have Bluetooth?
No.
Wi-Fi? Well, if it takes off, there'll be a Wi-Fi version soon.
Oh, sure, I'm sure there will. Well, then again, you could do it from Wi-Fi. You could do a virtual squeeze on your phone screen and have the stuff come out, oozing out on the actual device. And
in someone else's house.
Yeah.
That'll be a much better use case.
Absolutely. We got the Dave Brubeck Octet and How High the Moon. You have been listening to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, and we are on the internet at radio2rdj.com. We come to you every Sunday night at 9, every Tuesday at 2 with a repeat of this show. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
And I'm Alex Harosh.
Have a good week, everybody. We will see you next time. Jazz.
Buoyant and ruggedly individualistic it was, too, this freewheeling thing they call jazz. In the American primitive manner, this is a rough-hewn moon, as perhaps the early settlers might have questioned how high.